Well, again, everybody, and welcome back to the Trig Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV. Here's right now about my Gozo Bell on this beautiful Monday. Today is June 10th, 2019. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this podcast, this episode. And I want to start with a text that I sent my friend that we were just joking around back and forth, talking about life and church and all these things. And then I sent him this text and it really touched me. And I want to read it to you and explain to you why. I don't think I even have it here anymore. So let me see if I can bring it back from my computer here. But, well, I don't think I have it, but let me just remember. We were talking about making money and church and how I'm really happy with my life. It's not about money, I told him. It's about serving people. And I was telling him how the degree that I have in computer engineering is the one that would have prepared me to be a millionaire, because it's what Mark Z and Jeff Bezos and all these guys, that's what they studied. And it's really not even about that. It's just kind of who I am. But at the end of all that, I said, because then he said, well, if you want money, then go for it. And then I said to him, I really don't want money. And then this is when it began, like my heart just began to come out. I said to him, I love the life that I'm living. I just talk big and exaggerate and lie to make myself feel better about myself. And then I said to him, in reality, I'm just a negrito from Nicaragua, illegal alien for many years, saved by grace, whom Jesus loved and whom he rescued for a great purpose. And he just said, he didn't say much, and that wasn't the point. I wasn't trying to have him get it, but it hit me in such a deep way just because of the honesty and the clarity with which I became aware of my life. And that's what I want to do. I want to just give you maybe two or three things that mark my life as a way to maybe help you understand the things that mark your life. Because here's the thing, every one of us lives in this tension between who we really are and who we think we should be. Between the truth of who we are and the lie that we live for others. And so I want to help you uncover who you really are by telling you my story so that you can live in the truth of who you are, if that makes sense. So let me just start here. So ever since I was a young man, I've always been a happy kid. Never really interested in money, success, shame, depression, anxiety. I had no reason to be anxious or sad. I had a wonderful family, my mom, my dad. Of course, I mean, I liked girls. that happened early in life. And so I've always been someone who enjoys friendships. And then when the war hit in 1978, I was 9 years old. I was born in 1969, April 1969. I'm 50 years old. Then that's when life began to change for me. But it wasn't all bad. It was bad in that a war is a horrible thing, and it separated me from my parents for basically the rest of my life. But it was amazing because it brought me to this beautiful country, the US of A. And really, it brought me to my destiny, like Moses. Even though Moses would have rathered, my guess, is stay with his parents and not have to be put in a basket and in the Nile River and all the rest, God had a plan for his life to rescue his people from Egypt, to learn the language, to become a prince, to be able to have all the respect and abilities and skills of an Egyptian prince, and yet still be a Hebrew man, boy, who loved his people. And then God used, in spite of his fear and all that, to rescue Israel out of Egypt and then take them into the promised land. And so in the same way, God brought me here to this country, even though there was a price to pay that at times I still pay it, because he wanted me to rescue people from death and loss and a life of a life without purpose. So I grew up that way, and then when I went to school and studied engineering, at the beginning of my life, I've always wanted to help people. And so I have sort of ideas that I remember. I think I wanted to be like an astronaut because I like science, and I've always loved technology and rockets and the space station back in the 80s was such a big thing. Everyone was talking about it. I thought, man, I want to go to the stars. I want to go and be an astronaut. So I actually studied to be an astronaut, and then the program got canceled, blah, blah, blah. So I became a computer engineer. And so I studied computer science and engineering because that really was what was available and what fit my gifts to some degree. And I graduated in that. Then I studied in seminary and all the rest, became a pastor. But my heart has always been to serve, to love, to be happy, to be someone who is wide-eyed about life, and to be a very, you could say, innocent and humble human being, even though I've always had these extroverted gifts of connections and relationships and music, and I love talking, and people seem to follow me wherever I go. So those are just gifts that God has given me, but I really never paid attention to them, nor did they matter to me. And to this day, they don't matter to me. Now, when I went through my unemployment season, and really when I shifted careers, is what I would call it, about 10 years ago, from worship to being a lead pastor, I had to go through pain, and I had to start from the bottom. I had to start from nothing. And so I went through a lot of trials and tribulations, got fired from jobs, was unhappy often with things that I would try, all in my effort to get to my promised land, which was to be a lead pastor. And I feel like I have finally found my niche, but getting there wasn't easy. I had to go through a lot of different things. Now, becoming a lead pastor has been a dream the last 6 years or so. I would say the last 10 years in some ways. And I have, I think, definitely learned a lot the last 3 years, especially being at my current church, which I love. And I think the biggest lesson there has been to go back to who I was before music and school and all that stuff, to go back to just really being a happy kid that's in love with life and with God and with people. I think that because I am an achiever, and maybe because of the fear that set in when I was unemployed, I have lived with this mentality of failure that has really, I would say, damaged a lot of who I am. That's increased my levels of fear and of insecurity for no reason, even though I am a humble servant and I'm also a gifted person. I have lived way too long with a fear of failure, of failing. I think that comes from just switching careers. If you've ever switched careers, even though for me it's all related, I mean, it's all church leadership. But when you go from A to B, let's say you're an employee and then you become a supervisor, you're a manager and you become the boss, or any of those things where you move up the ladder, even if it's in the same entity or business or career, you are going to be challenged, of course. There are learning lessons, or it's a learning curve, there's all that stuff. And so I think that learning on the job, like all of us do, because of that, I try to be successful and to lead with my energy, with my giftedness, which is important, right? I mean, that is why you're brought to places, to change things. But the irony is that I have realized that, at least in the churches that I've been a part of, no one seems to really want change. No one really seems to want to do things differently, even though what they're currently doing isn't working. People, for the most part, want to stay the same. And that's why leadership is leadership. I mean, that's the point of leadership, is you ring that bell on what's really going on, and then you inspire, you motivate people, you model it, you minister, you preach it, you speak it, you do it, you delegate, you all these things to get people to move to, like the book says, to where the cheese went. You know, that book, the classic book called Who Moved My Cheese? When a church is failing and nobody's showing up, or the building is falling apart, you don't want that leader to come in and, quote, just love people. Now, I'm going to go back to love here in a second. You want that person to activate, to do something, to fix things, which fits with my achieving very well. And I'm incredibly successful at that. I don't think I've been successful at it yet in this current assignment, relationship, church that I love. But I know I will be successful because it's who I am. It's just, it's changing the Titanic. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. But I know we'll get there in Jesus' name. Now, going back to what people really want love, empathy, understanding, grace, kindness. And I feel like that's where the lesson has been for me. Because I haven't succeeded at filling up my church to 1,000, having a brand new facility, having tons of money rolling in so that we can hire staff and fill the church with ministries that help people. Because we haven't done that, I've had to go back to my roots, which is to simply love people. Which many people could say, well, that's what you should have done from the beginning. But remember, there are different times in which you need to lead in a different way. Look at your presidents. You can't compare Trump to Obama, to Reagan, to Clinton, to whoever. I'm not even comparing apples to apples, right? These are all different men. And all of them have come into, whoever you voted for, they've come into this country at different seasons. Obama was dealing with a recession. Reagan was dealing with a Cold War. Clinton was dealing with a kind of a time of peace, you could say. Trump is dealing with a lot of race and a lot of just kind of a political drama. So every leader has had to be the right fit for where the country was at. And I think that God has led this country to have the right leaders in place, regardless, again, of who you voted for, or what you think of Trump or Obama or Bernie or whatever, Hillary. Same thing goes with church. Even though, yes, I should have, and it's not that I didn't, but I should have only focused on love and grace and empathy, I knew that my assignment was to rebuild. And someone could say, well, the way you rebuild is by loving people. Well, that's one approach. And I did that, but I think that for the most part, I led by being a change agent and by calling people to a greater vision than themselves, which then brought a lot of enemies. Then it brought a lot of chaos, loss, injuries. I'm still dealing with literally gastrointestinal GI pain from what I went through the last 2 years. Still mending from that and taking medication and whatever, just to kind of unwind my stomach from all the stress of the last 2 years. And God is healing me slowly. But I think that maybe even bigger than my body, what's being healed, you could say, is my confidence. But I think more than anything is the true love for people and for who I am. Even though I have the skills of a king and of an amazing man, I know that I'm just a simple man, as I said earlier in the text, from Nicaragua, who went through a season where I was undocumented. It was just a short period of time, maybe 3 months. But I describe myself that way because I lived a life of fear. And I won't go into all my immigration story, but when you only have visas and you're always having to, upgrade them or renew them, and the laws were changing all the time, and I only had my grandma anyway, I lived a life of fear. A life of fear of being deported any second, any day, back to my homeland, which was going through a lot of struggle, still is. I wanted to stay in this country. Anyway, long story short, I married my lovely wife, I became a U.S. citizen, so there you have it. Thank you, Lord. But my story is still marked by simplicity. Obviously, I'm no king. I'm no royalty. I'm no one in terms of this world. And I only tell you that because sometimes I exaggerate so much of who I really am to make myself feel better. Because at the end of the day, I am just a simple man. And that is great. This is where I'm going with this. To be yourself is beautiful. That's what the Bible says. Psalm 139 says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are beautiful as you are, not as you should be, as Brennan Manning said. When I'm living in my achievement and failure and success, then that's when I preach angry, when I'm upset, when I'm unsatisfied, when people think that I'm not happy, when I judge. But when I'm in my love, I still am a challenger. I mean, that's still the energy that I have. I am a prophetic person. I'm one who calls people to a greater vision because I am a leader. I am a Enneagram 3, INFJ. I am this future person. And that's what pastors are, for the most part, the successful ones at least, whatever you call success, meaning those who see things through, those who see things grow, those who help people to grow and become disciples of Jesus Christ. And so I will always be that pusher, but meaning I'll never be the care pastor type, you know, who just wants to hang out with people and pray for the sick. My sweet spot is leadership, vision, teaching, movement, creativity going forward. And then counseling, equipping, restoring people so they can become their own version of themselves, that become like Christ, become people of faith, who share their faith with others, who live lives of joy and success, and who change the world for Jesus, just like Rochelle, my wife, and I and our kids are doing. So we just keep imitating Christ, as Paul said, and then we want people to imitate us. So in all of that, I am coming back to maybe the second half of who I am, maybe what I had left behind, which is preaching love, preaching grace, speaking hope, and to really love the people deeply, to take that next step. It's not that I'm not loving people now. It's just going into that next place of love. Just like in marriage or with your friends, there are levels to trust. There are levels to love. And because things happen to tear away that trust, then relationships fall apart. Marriages fall apart all the time. But the reason why my wife and I are in love is because we work at it. When we feel like things are falling off the wagon and something is not quite where we want it to be, we work on it. We pray. We seek God. The same thing goes in any relationship, or in this case with me in church. I don't want church to be an idol for me, something that I am propping up to make me feel better. I don't want church to be, and I think it has been, to be the lie that I'm telling the world to mask the insecurity or this. Maybe, you know, it's not insecurity. I'm not insecure. It's the simplicity of being who I am, the innocence of me being who I really am. I don't have to be a person of success or achievement. I don't have to lie about my visions or my accomplishments to be loved. What I want is what everybody wants, is to be loved. But I would say what I truly want is to love and to equip other people and to help them, like Ephesians 2 says, to realize the masterpiece that they are. Because that's how I feel about my life. That's what Jesus has done in me. He's helped me understand what a masterpiece I am. Even though I have this and that and the other and all these faults and all these sins and all these hang-ups, hurts, and habits, in spite of that, I am still God's masterpiece, and so are you. I also know what I'm not great at. You know, I am not the most eloquent speaker. I am kind of a shotgun kind of guy. I throw a lot of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. I am very linear, but when I speak, I want to inspire. And sometimes I can go off the rails, sure. And I'm always working on that through notes and slides and points. I also know that I have a weakness of letting people's opinions affect me. I mean, I have an endless list of things that I am not great at. I also know what I am great at. I would say mostly is that I really have a love for people and for Jesus. And that's not even of me. That's a gift from God. But I would say that is what I bring to the table. I truly love people and I truly love God and I love the church. I love the work of the church. I've been called to the church. You could call it to ministry since I was born. My father was a pastor. We grew up in the church. Our whole lives were about ministry first, second, and third, and then whatever else. I love challenging the system. I've always been a rebellious, creative, out-of-the-box, kind of a crazy guy. Always. My personality is definitely this way. I am, as I said, a 3. Maybe I'm more of an 8 or a 7 at times. I don't know. All of these Enneagram stuff that you know I've talked about many times. But what I really want to say is not what I am. It's not my type. It's not my gifts. That really is just garbage, as Paul said, compared to the reality of ministry, of loving people, of loving Jesus. Of, you know, I can't wait in a couple of weeks. I'm going to baptize a young girl who is blind, who loves coming to church, who before our church, she would be at home anxious, angry because of her condition. And her mom didn't know what to do with her. Now, both the mom and the daughter, they come to church and they can't wait to be there every week. They both are going to be baptized in just a few weeks. Can you believe that? That is what I call gozo. You think $1 million through Facebook stock would compare to that? Of course not. Now, do I not want a brand new building and a church of 10,000? Of course I do, because I want those people to be saved, healed, and successful. Not because of putting my name in the lights. I want my viejitos who are at my church to see their church full once again like it was back in the 70s. I want these viejitos who have given their lives to this facility, to these churches, to this church where I'm at, to see their dreams come true, just to see themselves minister once again to young and old, to see their church filled with young people, kids running around, people of all races, all colors. And guess what? It's happening. It's, oh my goodness, it's slower than molasses. It's been painful. I mean, my body literally, even right now as I'm sitting here, it's in pain because of how difficult it's been to get here. But something new is happening in me. Something really that's not new, that's really old, which is called love. A few nights ago, I spent an evening with 4 friends, a couple that I adore, and then another 2 girls that are a part of our church leadership team. And we were at their house, and their kids, there's like 2 kids running around, a baby and a cute boy. We had some amazing salad and food and cake, and it was just great coffee and great conversation. Amazing night. As I was sitting there, I was listening to this couple that was there, and they've been missionaries here in the Long Beach area for over 30 years, helping kids, passing out bulletins or tracts about Jesus to little boys and girls at a park in the area, starting soccer leagues, using their house to do Bible studies. I mean, the list goes on. They have had a successful ministry. And as they were talking, they kept saying how their whole view of life, they have, I think, 6-7 kids, their whole view of life is to put ministry first and front and center. And everything else revolves around ministry. Everything else, school, work, relationships, love, kids, moving, stress, whatever. Her husband is he works construction, and she has always been a minister of the good news. Both of them are. And I've known these friends for many years, and I love who they are. I want to be like them. They've had amazing mentors in their lives that have been just as powerful as they are. And now they're being mentors, and they were mentoring these two younger girls that were in this apartment. And they were mentoring me. I'm their age. I'm a 50-year-old church leader, quote unquote. And they were mentoring me, showing me the way that I should go. And so I came home, and we had church yesterday. And then last night, my wife is dealing with some work stuff, and all of our kids are in the middle of starting new jobs or graduating from high school. You know, a lot of change and a lot of good things, but change is still hard. So instead of just kind of wanting to go out and have sushi or entertain myself or feel sick or feel bummed or what, all that usual stuff, instead I grabbed my guitar and I began to sing. Then I grabbed my Bible, and my wife was next to me, and I said, you know, let me pray for you. She's like, oh yeah, we're going to reach out to our neighbors. I said, no. I don't want to reach out to our neighbors at this particular moment. I want to pray for you. And she got really quiet, and I could tell it really, you know, ministered to her. She's like, wow, I really need that. And so I prayed for her. And then I called one of our children was working, but the other two were home. So I called them together. Daisy the dog was there in the middle. I love Daisy the dog. And for the next 20 minutes, I just ministered to my family. I sang songs to them. I gave a brief devotional. I prayed over them individually. I just simply loved them. I wasn't thinking of how awesome I am or how what a failure I am. I was just in my Jesus, in my love, in who Jesus is to me, in how he made me to be. He created me to do exactly that, to lead worship, to do a devotional, to pray for those who I love. That's my ministry in a nutshell. And after we did that, it was just beautiful because God began to move. And the connection is this. On Friday, this couple mentored me. They share their lives, just their lives. It touched me so deeply that I then went and ministered to my family, to the five of us. And then who knows how that moment might become, might be multiplied when my family takes that truth of last night. And not only are they going to live differently this week in the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of what we talked about Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? But who knows who they're going to touch, whose lives they're going to impact because of what my friends did, of what their mentors did, of what their mentors' mentors did maybe in the 50s and 40s. And now to 2019, there I was ministering to my wife and our three teens, and who knows where this is going. The blessing continues. And that's what God does. That's the power of love. Do I want big events and preach in front of 1,000, 10,000 people? Of course I do. Man, sign me up. Do I want to sing in front of 10,000? Of course. And I've done it before, and I can't wait to do it again. But in the meantime, because I do believe that we're just a few moves away from being there, my commitment is to recover that first half of my life, the first half of who I am, and that's to love God, to love people, to counsel, to equip the saints, like Ephesians 4 says, to do the work of ministry. And to do something that my friend, back to that night with my mentors, something that the husband challenged me, and he just said it as a encouragement, but it really challenged me because I need to do it more. He said, Pastor, we were talking about ideas for the summer and ministry things and blah, blah, blah. He's like, and I was like, okay, I'll be there. And he's like, Pastor, it's not about you being at everything. It's not about you doing it all. It's about you equipping us and you taking care of your family. Did you catch that? He said, it's not about you doing it all, which is, you know, my tendency. I want to do it all and be the best and, I don't know, show off maybe even, which is not the best thing for me to do. But instead, he said, you're supposed to equip us, which is Ephesians 4, which is what I need to be doing more of. And then he said, loving your wife and your kids. They still need you. And you don't know how much that impacted me. And I think that all of those things led me to lead my family last night in that Bible study. And I hope we do it again. And I hope that next time I will invite maybe that couple or those four people that were that met with us last week, and I can equip them. And guess what I love to do? I think maybe only second to music, I love to equip people. It is my passion. I'm a disciple maker. There's nothing I love more than to equip the saints for works of ministry. I am Ephesians 2:10. I am Ephesians 4. It is my passion. I think second only to music and maybe preaching. I love preaching. And so I know this maybe has sounded like a lot of me, but my real hope is that in what I'm saying about my little life, my insignificant life, and yet significant in Christ, I hope that you will think about your own life and wonder, what is it that I need to be doing? What is the real me? Am I living in the real me? And if you're not, what are the hang-ups? What are the reasons that you're not living in the truth of who you are? I've been unemployed, sick, alone, depressed, anxious, beaten up, abused, yelled at. I've literally had people almost punch me. And I'm talking about women that were so mad at me. Church leaders, quote unquote. What have you been through that has kept you thus far to be the true you? Social media, drugs, alcohol, men, stress. I don't know. What is keeping you from living your true destiny? Let me equip you. Let me help you. Most of all, let Jesus guide you. He will see it through. He who began a good work, Philippians 1 says, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He has started something amazing in you, hasn't he? Guess what? No matter what obstacle, forgetting what lies behind, says Hebrews 10, setting your eyes on the prize. Never fixing always our eyes on Jesus and not on the things of the past. That's what you need to do, my dear friend, is forget what lies behind. Set your eyes on the prize. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And let me help you, whatever I can do. Obviously, if you're a member of my church, it's all free, quote unquote. If you are not, I have paid services where I can help you, equip you to be the man and the woman that you're supposed to be. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.